The old preacher, Dr. Lee Robertson, that was his favorite song. He'd be 100 some years of age now. He preached behind this pulpit many times. I am so very grateful you're here today. I'm thankful for God's people. To think that in America, there's many places like this I know that are gathering together to actually worship God. But here in the heart of the Silicon Valley, what an honor this is to the Lord, that people assemble and hear songs like Just When I Need Him Most, and hear that choir sing about heaven. Tonight, the evening service is at 6 o'clock, and we'll have a full choir, full orchestra. The place will be filled tonight. And for any reason, you feel more comfortable in Spanish, the other property, about 6 blocks away, they have a full choir. And preaching over there at their auditorium at Clyde Avenue. Well, let's bow for prayer. Father, it's a privilege to stand and try to represent you to the people of God. Now, thank you for these that are here, faithful members and visitors, guests. For those that are saved, we're grateful. For those that are unsaved, we pray that this would be the day they come to realize they must be born again. Thank you for the text that's before us. Use it in our lives is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Procrastination. A businessman, businesswoman, you cannot procrastinate. A client calls, you must get back immediately, if not sooner. How important it is not to procrastinate. You procrastinate, someone else gets the sale. Someone else gets the job. We must not procrastinate. That's what God's Word is dealing with here in this text, to put it off. I'll do this later. To procrastinate means I'll postpone it. I'll delay it. I don't want to deal with that, so we'll do it tomorrow. I think we all have a degree of procrastination. Look at perhaps the garage. You say, my goal 3 years ago was to clean out the garage so I could get my motorcycle in. Hopefully the cars, but I don't know. But so often we procrastinate and we put off what we know needs to be done. Those windows of the house are so filthy. I have to wash the windows tomorrow, next week. The bathroom in the house needs to be painted. I need to do that soon, real soon. My grades are failing. We're in finals at the college here, getting ready to have finals in a few weeks in the high school. My grades are not that good. I need to get that book report done and finished tomorrow. No, today is the day. We don't postpone. We don't delay. I remember that day when my wife told me that I was going to propose to her. Well, maybe it didn't quite work like that. But I tell you what, I remember the day I was going to tell her, first person in the world other than my parents. I never told my sisters because I didn't love them, but I did love them. But I was going to tell this girl, first time in my life, Cindy Swanson, I love you. Oh, I tell you, that day I can remember my stomach was churning. If you don't get sick when you fall in love, you're not in love. I'll tell you that right now. And I put it off. I said, I'm going to tell her. I'm just going to tell her I love her. Man, I tell you what, that's a big step, because saying I love this girl, that means I have to have my nose pierced so she could pull me around and lead me and whatever it means. But I knew that if I told her I loved her, this was going to be, the next step was engagement, and the next step was I was going to be a husband, and the rest of my life married to this lady. That's a long time. And I planned it. I knew how I was going to say it. And we went out on a date. Her dad was a preacher, and I took her home that night, and we walked to the parsonage right adjacent to the church building. In fact, the house was between this church building and their other church building, wedged between those two buildings. And I walked her from the car across that little driveway, past that elm tree, up the first set of steps, up the second steps, and I got to the door, the back of the house, and I said, Cindy, and man, I tell you, something was gurgling inside here. I mean, it wasn't feeling good. And I said, Cindy, I want to tell you something. And she said, have I done something wrong? No, I want to tell you something. I've been thinking about this, and I'm telling you, whatever it was in here, it was moving up. I could feel I was going to have a problem real soon. And I said, I want to tell you that I love you. And I mean, when I said that, it was just, if you're not, that was nauseous inside. It wasn't, but I was so nervous. And I spun around and I ran down the street, around that corner to the Tucker's house with Jim and Donna Tucker, and went and regurgitated in their bathroom. I'll never forget that. Opened up the door, flew in off that wood porch, opened the screen door, went right inside. They were like family to me. I was sick to my stomach. I'm glad I did not postpone that, because the vultures were flying around waiting for me to walk away, I'm sure, and there would have been the next guy in line, and you would have missed out on this. I'm glad I didn't postpone. I'm glad I did not delay, because that was the right day for that conversation. Today, as we think about procrastinating, you today already, the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. You're putting something off. It might be something spiritual, salvation. It might be something spiritual, winning someone to Jesus Christ. It might be something spiritual, becoming a tither. It might be something spiritual, going to a relationship, a mate, or someone saying, I want to say, I have been so wrong. It might be spiritual. It might be financial. I never pay my bills on time. I've got to get a handle on this. We're not going to Starbucks, or we're not going out to eat. We're not going to do anything until first we get our finances in order. We're not going to buy anything else on credit. I just procrastinate, say, today, we're going out to lunch. We don't have any money, but we're charging. Well, then it might mean that today you fast. Because if you cannot get a handle on a credit card, and a handle on a credit card means you use it to get the points, at the end of the month, you pay it off. And we put it off, and we put it off. It might mean, like most of us have had to do sometime in life, is to take the card and get a scissors and cut it in half and throw it away. What is God telling you to do? It may be the garage. It may be the house. It may be you've not taken time for your mate or time for your children. It might be the Spirit of God is saying, stop this business of not praying with your family. Start it not tomorrow, today. How's the Spirit of God speaking to you? My Bible says here in chapter number 3 and verse number 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, the Spirit of God, I know already, I know it's not my words, I know the Spirit of God is speaking to hearts right now. I know He is. I've known Him long enough in life to know that God speaks to our hearts. And the Holy Spirit saith, today, notice what He says, that word again in verse number 13, but exhort one another daily, what is called, what's the word, class, church. Today, verse 15, what is said today. Today. We're talking about procrastination, and procrastinators are people that have not seized responsibility. And God says that responsibility begins immediately today. Some have been careless with your children. You don't play with them. You don't pray with them. You don't precept from the Word of God. You don't punish or discipline. You don't laugh together, have fun together. It's just there in the house. You work, you get some money, you have some grocery money, and that's it. Friend, that is not parenting. Parenting says you have one mouth and two ears and two eyes, and you put your eyes on your kids and you put your ears, and we listen more than we lecture, and we have fun with our kids. Please don't go home and think fun is just watching TV. Fun is going on picnics, and fun is going on a bicycle ride. And enjoyment and pleasure and enjoyment with mom and dad and family is picnics and bicycle rides and taking a basketball or a football or a baseball or going fishing or having time together or working chores together and cleaning and painting and fixing and repairing, washing the car. God says today, responsibility always begins immediately. Parents, responsibility always begins today, immediately. Marriage. Perhaps you're a mate, male or female, that you're hard and difficult to get along with. And you know, male or female, your mood swings. And you know your cantankerous spirit. And you know your judgmental spirit. And your smart mouth. And you know it. And your caustic spirit. Well, today you turn to your mate, whether it be your wife or be your husband, and say, today, you help me with this. I've been so wrong. I've taken advantage of you. I've treated you with carelessness. I've not shown respect to you as my wife or respect to you as my husband. I spoke harshly in front of the children and others about you. And today, today, not tomorrow, not next week, not after married 5 years, 10 years, today, today. There's a song in our songbooks, page 294. You don't need to turn there. It was written in 1891. The songwriter said, we sing in our invitations once in a while, why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? While we plead, oh, there's pleading. Your mother might be pleading with you, son, start old band. Son, make your bed. Son, pick up your clothes. Daughter, do what you're supposed to do. Daughter, don't talk back again. Daughter, get along with your brother. Son, get along with your sister. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Start today. Today. Today, the scripture goes. I can recall that day, and you've heard it so many times, I won't go into detail. But in 1956, about 15 minutes from here, when the Spirit of God started speaking to my heart about getting saved. And that night I knew I had to get saved. Brother Manuel, it was 10 years ago at 7:30 tonight that the Spirit of God began to deal with his heart. And that was his day, not the next day, not the next month, not the next year. Who knows what could have happened if he kept putting God off. I remember that day, honey, 1970, when I was in college and God began just to deal with my heart. And I can remember, I think that morning about the fall, winter, snow was on the ground. Perhaps it was February. No one ever wrote it down. I never wrote it down. But I remember it was about 8:30 in the morning. I was in Jeremiah chapter 12. And on that day, as I wanted to quit college and go to Vietnam and be a Marine, on that day, God kept dealing with my heart about serving him. And I gave God every excuse why. I'd stutter. I'd get red-faced. I'd break out in a sweat if I had to speak. I was nervous about it. I wasn't talented. I knew all those things, and I told God, I can't do it because of this. And God says, I'll take you like you are. And on that day, I remember volunteering to God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be. I didn't know if that meant in America. I didn't know if that meant in another country. I had no idea it would mean California. But God knew, and that day, God was speaking to me. Perhaps on this day, there's a young preacher here, and the Spirit of God has been speaking to your heart. Today's the day to get it right. Today's the day, marriage. Today's the day, salvation. Today's the day, parenting. Today's the day, student. Today's the day, couples. Today's the day. I see not only does he say that responsibility begins immediately, but responsibility begins with listening to the voice of God. Look what this says again, verse 7. Wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith today, will ye, what's the word? Hear his voice. Hear his voice. Now I know that God doesn't speak audibly. No man's ever heard God speak audibly. We have the written word of God where he speaks to us through his word. But I'll tell you what, that Bible can speak to us. Brother Giovanelli was preaching last Sunday morning, 1 Thessalonians. Brother Bertram was preaching here last Sunday night. I was sitting next to my wife about that corner. And I could tell you that in both messages, God, and I'm trying to live for God, and I'm trying to be a godly Christian man, the pastor of this church for 42 years, but God began to speak to my heart on both morning and night messages. I want God to speak. As I heard the word of God, as God, my wife was telling, we were talking, and she's telling our class this morning, she's now reading her Bible. She doesn't say it to boast the second time through this year. And she said, she's been reading her Bible her whole life. Her dad was a preacher, 57 years. She married a preacher. Her whole life she's been in the house of God, every Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, for all these years. But as she reads the Bible, God is showing her things through the Word of God. God shows me things through the Word of God. I've been preaching this book for years. And I'll read that book and God speaks to me. God says, son, this is you. God spoke to me last week during their services. And I'm sitting there next to my wife and I said, Lord, if I don't make a decision right now in this invitation about this situation in my life, I think it's going to be one day too late. And I'm not into anything sin and wicked or filthy. God had just been dealing with me and preparing me, and I heard the preachers preach and I thought, Lord, this is for me, not my brother nor my sister. But it's me, oh Lord. When was the last time God spoke to you? He'll speak through his word. He'll speak from Titus chapter 2, an aged man or an aged Christian woman that will be able to give advice and direction. He'll speak through the word of God. He'll speak through an aged person. He'll speak through that Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin. And he'll say, don't do that. Go apologize to your wife right now. Go apologize to your husband right now. Get honest with God. You stole from that business person contract this week. Get it right with him. Get it right. That's the Spirit of God. That's not Jiminy Cricket. Let your conscience be your guide. That's the Holy Spirit. We sing that song. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing. God speaks if you'll listen. In the quietness of alone with him, in a service like this, the Spirit of God speaks. We have that song in our hymn book, page number 399. He still speaks. I know his voice. You know, at times, the Spirit of God throughout the week, I'll have some money, and right now for some reason I don't have any money in my pockets. Rare. I try to always be armed with something. And the Spirit of God says, give that little kid a $20 bill and say, go give it to your mom and dad. You go get some French fries after church tonight. Hasn't God ever spoken to your heart like that? Hasn't God ever spoken to your heart? And I don't believe that we ought to have all these free rides for all these things, but hasn't God ever spoken to your heart about some college student that's been here for 4 years and you've watched them and you want to do something for them, make them some cookies? Give them a note and $5 bill and say, I'm so proud of you. You say, I don't have money like that. Well, wouldn't it be great if you said a word of encouragement? Wouldn't it be great if the Spirit of God says, tell your wife, she's such a good lady. Tell your wife, she's a wonderful woman. Mrs. Treber was on the live broadcast with me Friday. We had listeners that were listening and had all those emails and their texts and around the nation and world, it was a blessing. I just enjoyed being with you. Many of you listen. And when she got done and she was talking about, I think about going to India as a missionary and we were going to go. And she said, Pastor was going to go. I wasn't going to go. And she said, and she did this. And boy, we went right to a song. I said, honey, you can't do that. Her daughter texted her, said, Mom, you can't say that. And she said, I love the Indians. And she goes, our Indian ladies know that means I love you. That's from me to them. Now, wait a minute. I know it's maybe not ethnically correct in this day. Starbucks closed down 8,000 of their businesses this week to train them on sensitivity training. I can train you for free right now. The first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Here it is, Starbucks. The second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So with two police officers in Florida sitting eating lunch at 3 o'clock this last week, and some fool comes with a gun and guns them down, a 25-year-old boy and another young man, and have family, and now they're without a dad, that is not loving your neighbor as yourself. The whole problem in America, we're trying to do everything outside of the Word of God. Just learn to love our neighbor. Red, yellow, black, brown, white, they're all precious in His sight. I'm a German. I'm offended. Quite frankly, you need to go to sensitive training through this because you've hurt me as a German. Because 100 years ago in America and in California specifically, they decided that the public schools cannot have German in their schools because they said we're going to be an English country. Teachers, you no longer have to speak in German. You know how much that offends? Well, that's my forefathers. They worked against them. No, this is America. See how it's quiet getting here right now? You could go to HR, but we don't have that department here. See, the Spirit of God will speak to our hearts. I'm the pastor of the greatest church in all the world. Because this morning we have at least almost nearly 100 various countries, first generations in this auditorium. And you can ask folks from other countries what this pastor thinks of them. That's why we have a large Spanish ministry, and that's why we have a large outreach to them, and now established a college for them, and now established the schools where they can come into our schools and infiltrate and be together as one. And the tremendous Chinese ministry, and now the, of course, the great Indian ministry, and how God has brought India to us, and I'm shouting for joy. And the Filipino ministry and Pastor Apusin with the Filipino. It's an amazing thing. You imagine, my goodness, how great life is for me. I can have Monday night, some Filipino will bring us lumpia. And Tuesday, Indian food, it's great. Leave the curry down here, not too spicy with the curry. And Wednesday, I can have Chinese. And I'm talking, I can even go to Taco Bell if nobody brings me anything from Mexico. I'm talking about God will speak to our hearts. How can you not see the little boys and little girls in our buses go out? We've picked up 1.4 million kids now these many years. Many without dads, not all. Many without moms, not all. Many that are poor, not all. We run them out there to pick them up, to bring them in, because Jesus loves the little children. We're out of time, and I find that when we procrastinate, we're shirking our responsibility, which means today. Because when we procrastinate, we see that it's not that important. It is. And we see that we don't need to listen to the voice of God. And then thirdly, in this text, you'll see very carefully that God's word always says when you respond, when you procrastinate, you don't respond. He goes, I want a response. And he begins to speak to him in verse number 8, 9, 10, and 11. And he says, you must make a decision today. Don't get hard, verse 8, harden not your hearts. Don't have unbelief, verse number 12. But turn to God. Don't procrastinate. A Filipino man, Brother Marlon, one of our graduates, in another week, he's already been voted into pastor church. He and his wife and girls are leaving here. In the Philippines, the pastor, a young pastor, died with cancer. They voted him in already. He's going to take that church. Hopefully, by the grace of God, go on deputation for a few months, and by October, he'll get there. He had a grandfather in the Philippines that said no to the gospel. No, I'm not going to get saved. No, I don't need it. I'm of this background, and no, I don't want that. And 2 weeks ago, Brother Marlon got the call, my grandfather died. And as he boarded that plane and left this area to go to the Philippines to speak at that funeral, his heart was crushed because his grandfather was unsaved. As they were preparing for the funeral for his grandfather, Brother Marlon looked and said, I need a haircut. And he went to go get the haircut. He's given me permission to tell you this. And he sat down in the barber shop chair, and the man's been a barber there for years. And he said, I don't know you. I've not seen you in our area. He said, are you new here? He goes, why, I live in the United States. I was born in the Philippines. I was in Hawaii, left Hawaii in my career, and I went to Bible college, and I'm coming back to be a preacher in the Philippines. The barber says, you know, I'm a Baptist, I'm saved, and I try to always win people to Christ in my barber shop. So why are you here? He goes, well, my grandfather passed away, and I'm here for his funeral. The barber said, well, if he lives in this area, I'd probably cut his hair. Who is he? And he told him who his grandfather was. The barber said, son, let me tell you something. I pled with your grandfather to get saved. He would never get saved. But just a few weeks ago, when he came in here, he said, I'm ready. And he said, right here, in this room, I led him to Jesus Christ. That was his today. This is your today. It might be for salvation. It might be for biblical separation. It might be for stewardship. It might be getting right with your family. It might mean making a long-distance call to someone and say, I've been so wrong. It might be paying a bill that you've walked away from. But today is the day. Let's stand together, shall we? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.